truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I say it's completely bogus. There's been zero racial incidents.
What are you doing here?
Oh, my house burned down. And I knew this could take a long time.
We are enforcing our commitment to the NPT by stating...
Bill, there's just something a little bit unseemly to me that Chelsea's out there calling up celebrities saying...
Bleeping retarded.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. Every night we stream live video and audio on our website, philhendryshow.com. And when a lot of you are listening to the commercials, the people that are watching the video and listening to the audio are watching me lose my mind. Did a six-year-old child really commit suicide? Did a six-year-old child really kill herself? This is what we're being asked to believe. And I'm going to tell you whether it really happened or not. And I don't give a damn what the medical examiner says, okay? See, folks, let me tell you something, man. I don't know how else to put it, but a lot of you guys, you know, I love you and I've been watching you. A lot of you guys, you just swallow anything, don't you? You know you do. You know that you do. Oh, God, you know what I just heard? What's that? Oh, I heard that you don't stop and wait a minute. What the hell am I doing? I heard it on the radio, and you know, you heard it on the radio. I guarantee it's suspect there. So we're going to find out whether that actually happened. And did a producer really slug Nicolette Sheridan? Do you care, number one? Do you even know who she is? Sure you do. She was on Dreaming, or Desperate, or Dreaming, or Dizzy Housewives, whatever the hell the name of it was, which I knew someone who really loved that show for about a year, and then she stopped watching it on reruns, and now she doesn't give a damn whether they live or die or whatever. However, Desperate Housewives at one time was a smash hit show. Nicolette Sheridan got fired from the show, and she claims that she was beat up. And I don't believe it happened, although I wish it had. And I'm kidding. All right. And also, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming audio, video every day. And on Saturday, we have our special video cast, How to Properly Drink Tequila, so that you don't act like a frat boy with your face congealed to your own vomit the next day on the pillow. See? How to Drink Tequila Like a Man on Saturday. Watch it. Woo!
Yeah.
You ain't getting any, man.
I don't want any of that. I don't drink any of that neither.
You already sound like you're hammered.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Six-year-old commits suicide, examiner says. You know, this is a drag of a story to have to read, but I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't buy this. Not at all. Not at all. I think it's an accident. I think it's an accident. I think maybe the child was mimicking something. And that doesn't mean that we can't have images of people with belts around their necks and, oh, my God, every kid. I think that there's probably something in the biochemistry of every human being that makes them unique and perhaps makes some of us a little more gullible than others, even at the age of six. I don't know. But I don't believe that any six-year-old is so despondent, so depressed, so upset with life that they're going to take their own life, that life is not worth living. I don't believe it. The death of a six-year-old Oregon girl sent to her room after exchanging crosswords with her mother has been classified as a suicide by the state medical examiner in Oregon. This was in McMinnville, Oregon. After her mother told her to go to her room, Samantha Kerbisky, a first grader, crawled into an unused crib, tied one end of a belt around her neck, the other on a bar of the crib, and hung herself, according to reports. 6 years old. The incident happened on December the 2nd, days shy of the girl's 7th birthday, making her the youngest person in Oregon history to have committed suicide. Well, how about that? There's one for the books. Who was the previous youngest person to have committed suicide? 7 and a half? Who was the medical examiner then? And I don't even answer that question, because it probably happened at a time when I'm sure the police investigative techniques in Oregon, as you know, elsewhere, were just really primo. But McMinnville police investigating Samantha's death are not convinced that the girl understood the consequences of her actions. They are challenging the classification of suicide. Samantha's death, they argue, was the result of an accident. The disagreement is a little more philosophical than it is material to the case, McMinnville Police Captain Dennis Markscolt told KGW News in Portland. It's not that we disagree with the mechanics of what happened. It's the finding that a six-year-old could form that kind of intent. This is a police officer speaking. Dr. Clifford Nelson, Oregon's deputy medical examiner, made the suicide determination based on a variety of factors, including interviews with the grief-stricken family. And Dr. Karen Gunson, the chief medical examiner for the state, said that investigators learned that the girl's parents had warned all of their children of the dangers of playing with belts around their necks. The dangers of playing with belts around their necks. Statements were made by the girl that indicate she was going to kill herself, Gunson told KGW News. She had the means, and she realized that if she put something around her neck that was dangerous and could cause death because her parents had told her that, my contention is that shows intent. Are you an idiot or something? Are you an idiot? Do you think a six-year-old child understands what death is? That what she's about to do, she's going to end her life? In the sense that you and I understand this as adults, in the sense that you and I might understand this in that we have seen death, we've seen dead people, we know what happens to a human being when they die, that's it, they're bagged, they're wrapped, and maybe double bagged in some instances, depending upon the freezer, and that's the end of it. Gunson. Karen Gunson, nice one there, Karen. I bet you were all, you know, I hate to mock people, but this is one, you deserve it. I bet you got together there with Clifford Nelson and you put your little pointed heads together and, well, it looks to me. Because her parents had told her that, my contention, that shows intent. Do you believe, Dr. Gunson, that that child meant to kill herself, to take her own life? Do you believe that? Well, the parents told her that if she put something around her neck, it was dangerous and it could cause death. Do you think a six-year-old girl understands what death is? Is it maybe something on television? Is it something you turn on or off, like a TV? And were you there, by the way, when the parents told these children what all of that stuff meant? As a matter of fact, I'm a little worried here. Now, what the hell are these parents talking about their kids? What are you talking to your kids about now? Well, we just told them, you know, if they put what around their neck, what are you talking about? Well, if you put something around, you know, I don't know what parents tell their kids, and I've been around kids, I've been around parents, I've been a kid, I've been a parent. I don't ever remember, and I'm not saying that I'm the world's greatest parent, necessarily sitting kids down and saying, oh, and by the way, one other thing, don't put that around your neck and hang yourself from something because you know that that'll cause death. Huh? The parents had sat the kids down and talked to them about putting stuff around their neck that could cause death. They'd warned the children of the dangers of playing with belts around their necks. Now, maybe one of the kids was playing with a belt around their neck. And maybe one of the parents even demonstrated what happens if you do the wrong thing and bang, you can hang yourself and then you're dead. And maybe this little girl thought, I wonder if it's as dangerous as mommy and daddy say it is. But to say that this child at the age of six had the intent of taking her own life is horse dung. And Dr. Gunson, God bless you, you're the chief medical examiner for the state. That doesn't necessarily mean you've got a degree in psychiatry or psychology or, frankly, that you know what the hell it is you're talking about, okay? Now, I know you know what a dead body looks like and what causes death, and good for you. But to tell me that a six-year-old kid commits suicide, let's get serious, okay? Are you guys so hard up for headlines there at AOL News? I hope you guys go out of business. You know that AOL? The minute that you went into business with Time Warner, the minute you stopped being that cute little internet company and you started slowing everybody else down with all that crap on your homepage, and you started going into business with guys like freaking Turner and the rest of them, that's when you stopped being anything I was interested in, okay? Why don't you just close up shop? Samantha threatened to kill herself as she was sent to her room, according to her family. Well, she might have said that, and she might have said that to scare her parents, and she might have said a lot of things. She's six. She didn't mean to kill herself. It was a horrible accident, and it was something that a little girl did because she was trying out something that the parents told her about. She was bored. She was angry with her mom. She went into the room. She wanted something to do. She tried this. She tried that. and it was a horrible, horrible accident, and that's that. And I think we're so hard up for headlines now. And, you know, frankly, the way we report on children now, the way that we treat children in the press is so disgusting. It makes me want to just pitch up, like, hundreds of breakfasts that I've had. You know, talking about sexualizing kids, giving children adult intentions, giving children the benefit of adult decision making. I don't think we treat our kids very well at all. And you know, folks, let's be honest. The baby boomers are in charge now, and God bless my generation. But it is a generation of the most self-indulgent, selfish people that the world has ever known. Never had to sacrifice anything. Never had to go through anything really all that tough. Other than the guys that went to Vietnam, this is a generation of people that have never really had it tough doing anything. All they've done, the baby boomers, is bore the hell out of everybody with their big fat mouths. And then, you know, their attitudes about how the world needs to evolve and how we raise children, too. And as far as I'm concerned, my generation, the boomers, have come up with precious little. And the damage they've done as parents, good God almighty, man, it's going to be generations before they undo it. All right, coming back, this is really heavy. Tom Coburn, he's a Republican out of Oklahoma. He's the guy that was pitching tort reform. He's a good buddy with John Boehner. He's a, you know, he's all that and a bag of pork rinds, man. Well, guess what? He's defending Nancy Pelosi, and he told Fox to dial it down a notch. Wait till you hear this story. Coming back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
The West Virginia mine story is a devastating story from the standpoint of the history of coal miners in America and the dangers and the terrible loss of life they've suffered from time to time, the families that are affected, the history of the miners and attempting to get unionized and try to get the working conditions better and the companies coming along and working with the unions and so on and so forth. And every time we hear about a mine disaster or some kind of serious situation with our miners, whether it's in West Virginia or in Utah or anywhere else, it's heartbreaking, man, especially when you're trying to dig people out of a place that is so difficult to get to. You know that already some men have lost their lives. You're trying to rescue people so that they don't lose theirs. And it's just a really heartbreaking story. I don't know what the hell Dr. Phil is doing commenting on things right now. I get it about how the family needs to cope. Why don't you let them do their job first? See if you can get these men out alive. And then we can talk to Dr. Phil, Larry, about whether we have to grieve or move on. Or I don't know. What is it with you and Dr. Phil, King? You sense that he's going to lose his gig, and so you want to have him on so he can kind of trot his wares out there, maybe get another show? Or maybe he senses that you're going to lose your gig, and he's going to take over. Maybe that's it.
That's what I think.
You think Dr. Phil is going to take over for Larry King? Holy God. I really couldn't envision the day that I would be praying for the return of Larry King, but that'd do it. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here about, well, a lot of stuff. We're talking about this little six-year-old girl that they said committed suicide in Oregon. Six. Here is Aaron in Corte Madera, California. Aaron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How you doing?
Hi, Phil. I just wanted to say that I distinctly remember when I was 6 years old getting depressed for the first time and asking my parents, how does a person die? Can they cause themselves to die? And they told me what suicide was. And I remember thinking I'd like to do that, and I didn't know how to do it. And I used to think I was really disturbed for having thought that at 6 years old. But I've since talked to several adults as an adult, and they said they remembered when they were around six or seven having thoughts of killing themselves too. So I just want to say that I think.
Well, but you didn't do it, did you? You didn't do it, did you? You didn't do it, and neither did these other adults.
I ate a poisonous plant in the backyard, and I threw up because I was 6 years old. I didn't know how to do it.
Right. But the fact is, you didn't do it. Now, if this is something that happens, like you say it does, I'd sure like to see the numbers on the on 6-year-olds or, let's say, prepubescent children, as we know them, killing themselves. Even if a kid is not familiar with, you know, what you're supposed to do to kill yourself, I would imagine we'd still have a significant number of kids killing themselves, wouldn't we? So you've talked to people. There's you. There's other people.
Well, I'm not saying. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's common. I'm just saying that it is. It does happen. Apparently. I mean, it does,
well,
happen if they kill
apparently
if that 6-year-olds get depressed enough to think about killing themselves.
Now, what caused you to suddenly not be depressed enough to kill yourself? You were 6. You tried to eat a poisonous plant. What happened? Did you all of a sudden get a good bike for Christmas or what?
You know, I remember somehow I came out of it. And I can't tell you how it happened, but it took some time. And I don't even remember the exact circumstances of why I was depressed. But I do remember that feeling, because it was the feeling kind of sticks with you. And I remember my parents telling me.
What did your parents tell you? What did your parents tell you about killing yourself? What did they say?
They said that sometimes people kill themselves and it's not a good thing to do. It's a very bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But you went ahead and tried it anyway?
Well, I ate a poisonous plant, yeah, but it wasn't a very successful attempt, no. I didn't.
How did you know it was poison? How'd you know it was poisonous? It was. They told you this was a plant you're not supposed to eat?
I remember some adults telling me that it was an oleander bush in the backyard, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they said it was poisonous. You know, I was 6 years old. I didn't know anything about biochemistry.
All you knew was that life was not worth living.
Yeah, that's right. Hello?
That's heavy, man. All right, I'm here. I'm here, Aaron. All right, I'd like to, you know, I would like to find out who the youngest person ever to commit suicide besides this little girl, and what are the numbers of children, that is, people, humans under the pubescent ages, I guess, of 11 or 12 or however we, you know, gauge these things, how many of them actually attempt to kill themselves and how many are successful? Well, Aaron, I'm glad in your case, and I'm sure you are too, it wasn't successful. Are you a happy person now? Are you a happy person now? Would you say?
I've had some rough spots, but I'm relatively happy. Yeah, I'll be turning 40.
Are you?
In a
do
week.
You? Yeah. Do you take medicine? Do you, have you been to a doctor to take like antidepressants or anything like that?
I do. I take antidepressants. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Glad you're still with us. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
877-876 Phil 877. What are you looking at?
Damn, that guy's full of it.
Oh, you think he's lying? I don't think he. I think he was telling the truth.
Well, what do you mean he tried to eat a plant?
He thought when he was 6, he tried to poison himself. That's what he said, anyway.
I believe him.
I don't know. When I was 6, I can tell you this. This is an honest statement about myself, Phil Hendry. I was the happiest kid. I can remember being in love with life as a child. Maybe people like that, maybe I should have thought about killing myself and I would have been happier as an adult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would go the other way.
I know. Because when I was a kid, I remember as a little boy, and the earliest memory that I've got is of being out on the front lawn at our house when I was, you know, the house we lived on, lived at in Arcadia, California. But I remember being just, I loved everything about the world. I you know, the smells and the look of things, and I would touch things and water. The first time I discovered water, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I just loved being alive. I can't imagine. I did shoot a man just to watch him die when I was 6. And
really?
No, not really.
That's like that song, you idiot.
Shot a man in Reno?
Oh. Well, yeah, but he wasn't 6.
Well, who knows how old he was? I'm sure I was 6 and I shot a man in Reno to watch him die. So anyway, Phil Hendry show 877. What about you? Were you happy as a kid?
Yeah, I was happy. I liked a lot of stuff, but I set fire to my dad's garage. I was helping him clean out the car, and I set fire to the garage. So he didn't mind because he wanted it. My dad was going to build a carport anyway.
What?
What do you say, man? I set fire to the garage.
You set fire to your garage?
Yeah.
And your dad wasn't pissed because he was going to build a carport?
Yeah, he didn't like the garage anyway.
God, are you weird, man.
Oh, I'm weird.
You are weird, man. Set fire to a garage. I don't know anything about where you're at, okay?
Yeah, you're all happy-go-lucky shooting a man in Reno.
I didn't shoot a man in... You know what? I'm going to shoot a man right now, okay? 877-8-SHOT a man in Reno. I didn't shoot a man in Reno, but you set fire to a garage. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show in a moment with the story about Tom Coburn kissing Nancy Pelosi's rear end.
Phil Hendry.
Now, I know you've got this song up for a reason, Bud, and I don't know what it is.
Well, it's because I got Margaret on the line right now and everything about it.
Well, this is Folsom Prison Blues, right?
Yeah, she wants to talk.
I hear the train a-coming.
Well, this is what I was talking about. I'm just joking about it.
And I ain't seen the sunshine.
Yeah, but this...
I don't know when.
Oh, let's get Margaret on the line. I have her there. Margaret, are you there?
Time keeps dragging on. Yeah, you can turn that down for just a moment. You mentioned, Phil, right now we're in, and I don't know if you know Tom Denard, but we are flying right now to Denver in his private jet, and we're having a ball.
Oh, all right. What is that? That's music you got Bud playing, right?
Well, it's the Johnny Cash song, and I heard what you said about, here it is right here.
Just to watch him die.
Yeah, that's the lyric. I was joking.
No, I know you were joking, but I wanted to, I don't know if you know this, Bud, you could take it down. Hold on. I wanted you to know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I helped Johnny Cash with some arrangements. Now, I was very young. I was only, at the time I was what, Frank? Just turned.
I think you're 40.
I wasn't 40. I was 22. I had just gotten done. I had appeared in Hair at the Aquarius Theater in Hollywood. And so I was helping out doing some arrangements.
Okay.
So I did an arrangement of Folsom Prison Blues that I really liked. And I told Johnny Cash this arrangement really would have taken it over the top. It was a big hit, but it was only a hit because of it being on the album. But it goes something like this, if I could.
Go ahead, yeah.
3, 2, 2, and 3. 2, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I hear that prison blowing. It's blowing.
It's train.
Oh, that's right. I hear the whistle blowing. That's better. Take it down a notch. Is Bob Sheridan there? Bob, my arranger.
You're on a jet, Margaret.
What's that?
You're on a jet. What do you mean, Bob?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Crazy or something.
I hear the whistle blowing. It's blowing down the bend, and I haven't taken a good crap. Since I don't know when.
Wait, whoa. I haven't taken a good crap. God almighty.
Well, I tried to give it a more masculine feel because I really thought it needed that, okay?
Well, what? The lyric that Bud was telling me is this the,
Right, I shot a man in Reno. Well, the arrangement I did for that went like this. Because I shot a man in Reno. Just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Now, I really think that finishes it beautifully. But Mr. Cash didn't like it.
Well, of course, she didn't like it.
Frank, shut up. And
tell me to shut up.
So,
Well, but Margaret, that sounds very nice, but that doesn't sound like a country song.
Well, what do you mean it doesn't sound like a country song?
I hang my head and cry. It sounds like you're finishing out some Broadway show tune.
No, you don't understand. The song reaches a climactic pitch. What was wrong with the song on the album, in my opinion, was it did not quite reach that crescendo. I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die deserves a bigger finish. So it would go, here it is. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2. And I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. 2, 3, you know, Phil. And then it goes, when I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Now, excuse me, that is a big finish.
Well, I don't know.
I don't like it.
Frank, you never like anything I do.
Well, it sounds jackball.
I think it's a big finish, and that's what I told Mr. Cash.
No, I agree with, I wouldn't say it's jackball, okay, but I just agree with Frank. It's far too much, Margaret. It sounds, it's almost like you're making fun of the man saying, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Johnny Cash sings it the way a man might sing it, you know, he's got the blues, he's sitting in prison.
Well, Phil, understand that I worked with some of, probably some of the best choreographers on Broadway. I did Showboat. And I remember talking to Dodie Fay, who was one of the actors that I worked with in Showboat. He was one of the black actors. And he gave Old Man River that real feel. I loved it. Old Man River. You know how they sing it, Frank? You do it, yeah?
Old Man.
Well, it was great. So when I shot a man in Reno, just to watch him die. When I hear the whistle blowing, I hit my head and cry. That's what I wanted to do.
Well, you know, you got the answer. He didn't like it.
Well, you know what? Johnny Cash can stuff himself. How about that?
You know something? Let's get rid of her while the getting rid of her is good, okay? The hell is this?
Folsom Prison Blues.
That ain't Folsom Prison Blues. That's Nowhere to Run by Martha and the something or others. 877-876-PHIL. What am I wasting my time with that for?
She had a very... I thought it was a good point about you brought it up.
Yeah, you did. You're talking about shooting a man in Reno. I was kidding around. I said I was a six-year-old kid. How do we get from me talking about committing suicide at the age of six in a way that we can kind of wrap that whole terrible conversation up in a humorous vein and you getting on with Margaret and playing Johnny Cash and I got to go through all of that?
Because of the man in Reno.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Are you out of your mind, man? If something's a throwaway, it's a throwaway. Don't get on the phone with her and go, hey, Phil just talked about shooting a man in Reno. Oh, that reminds me, I've tried to rearrange that for Johnny Cash. God almighty. That ain't Folsom Prison Blues, man. Tom Coburn, critical of Fox and nice to Nancy Pelosi. I thought this was kind of interesting, although this is nowhere near as interesting or sexy as Margaret talking about shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
That's great.
Thank you. Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma wants his constituents to get a more fair and balanced view of politics, even if that means hating a bit on Fox and loving a little on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Now, this is a guy, I might have had Coburn all wrong. What we have, said Representative Coburn, this is a leader. This is a leader. This isn't just a guy saying, you know, let's start, let's read the polls and let's do what the people want, do what the people want, do what the people want. Here's a guy that's making a statement to his constituency saying, let's start acting like decent human beings a little bit. What we have to have is to make sure we have a debate in this country so that you can see what's going on and make a determination yourself, the Oklahoma senator said in remarks to a home state town hall meeting on March 31st that were first reported by Capital News Connection. So don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News that somebody is no good. That's what I told you guys, man. I start everything coming off of Fox and CNN, as far as I'm concerned, it's like reading a blog. I no longer view either one of those channels or either one of those websites as anything approaching objective. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they're both blogs. So Senator Coburn went on to say, don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News that somebody's no good. The people in Washington are good. They just don't know what they don't know. That is a fair assessment. It's easy for us to demonize people, isn't it? In particular, Coburn took Fox to task for perpetuating the notion that Americans will be imprisoned for failing to purchase health insurance under the new law. Coburn spokesman John Hart said the Oklahoman wants constituents to gather information from multiple sources rather than relying on just one news outlet. God, is that important. I'm so grateful that somebody else is saying this. He makes those comments privately frequently about media networks. I think his point was to encourage citizens to be skeptical consumers. He was not trying to pick on Fox, Hart said. Oh, don't worry about it, Hart. Okay, you'll keep your job, man. And noting the widely held perception that Fox leans right, Hart said it's more credible to critique your own side. Yeah. Look at Senator, this guy Hart, you don't need him following you around and cleaning up a mess, because you ain't making a mess. You're speaking truth. Coburn's defense of Pelosi, he called her a nice lady, elicited a little bit of disapproval from his constituents, according to Capital News Connection. While the two lawmakers share little ground on policy, Hart says his boss's philosophy holds that you separate the ideas from the individuals. But Coburn took exception to Pelosi's view that Congress shouldn't set a precedent by requiring budget offsets to pay for a temporary extension of unemployment insurance. I want to set that precedent, said Coburn, who'd been holding up a bill that would end jobless benefits. Fox News did not reply to a request for comment. He's a fair man. That sounds like a fair thing to say. And I'm so grateful that he said it, and you know, that a leader said this, that a guy on the right said this, because to be perfectly honest with you, nobody on the right has been that magnanimous or that benevolent, if you will, or that open-minded or that, fair. I haven't heard them say those words, and I'm not saying that they're not, but I think it's important because all of this rancor and all of this ass-kissing on Fox, like these cats. See, I told you guys yesterday, Fox News, just like CNN, but CNN's nowhere near as good at it. It's the only thing. If you want to bag on CNN, you can say this. They're not anywhere near as good at the huckster game as Fox. And I told you what a huckster is. A huckster is someone who is a performer but wants you to believe they're real. A performer is a performer. They want you to know that what they're doing is a performance. A huckster doesn't want you to know that they're doing a performance. That's what separates, say, a Jerry Springer from what we do on our show, or maybe what other people do. That's what separates, say, a Glenn Beck from what other people do. Glenn is a huckster. Nice man, and he's great on TV. Fantastic on TV. But he's a huckster, meaning he doesn't want you to necessarily know that what he is doing is a performance that's got very little to do, if anything, with truth. Now, this may come as a shock to some people. It may make some people, maybe even some six-year-olds, want to kill themselves. However, nonetheless, it's the truth, Ruth. All right, we'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to after this in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, man, for that streaming stuff, baby. Yeah, the video and the audio.
Phil Henry.
Got it, man, in Reno.
Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show. At the beginning of our video cast tonight, off air, we asked people who were watching us during our uncensored pre-feed to check in on the website and tell us where it was they were watching us. And we've done this on occasion, and we haven't done it for a long time. We want to find out where people are. Where are people in relation to where we're broadcasting from? Who is listening to us from the most distant point? Now, I'm just looking at some of them. One, we got a comment from a member of a Stryker regiment, United States Army regiment in Bavaria, Germany, watching us. And we also have David in Hong Kong watching us on our live video feed tonight. And the rest of the folks that are checking in here, we've got Columbus, Indiana, all kinds of people all over the country, a place called Sublimity, Oregon. You made that up.
What is that?
Sublimity, Oregon. Anyway. Sebring, Florida, San Francisco, Danville, Kentucky, Fort Collins, Colorado, Birmingham, Alabama, Orange County, California, and Burbank. Let me just try one more. Just one more here. We got Toronto, Canada, Santa Rosa, California, Janesville, Wisconsin, Phoenix, Arizona, Cleveland, Ohio, New York City, Los Gatos, California, Spokane, but I don't have any international folks here. So that's somebody in Portland, effing Oregon, Fullerton, California. All right, so we did have a couple of international people. And I don't even know whether or not we still have our listener in India or not, you know, that one dude.
Yeah, that guy is bitching. I miss him so very much.
That cat used to send us pictures of people worshiping at altars that they made out of guns. It was weird. I can't even, I don't even want to go there. So that's kind of cool. And we did it tonight. You guys can still check in on this section, on this one little thread that we got going. Fullerton, I mentioned, we also have, what the hell is this? Can't get video or audio working on my BlackBerry because of the storm, wherever this person is. Watching the video feed in Pittsburgh. Somebody else watching, laugh out loud at this stuff going on between the broadcast. Yeah, okay, thanks. Because I was flipping out, so people are laughing at that. Portland again, Albany, New York, Las Vegas, a lot of different people checking in from all over the planet. All right, let's get to the stories that we couldn't get to. But before we get to the stories that we couldn't get to, and maybe we won't get to the stories that we couldn't get to, they made an arrest. I don't want to read this. Well, it is kind of good news. They made an arrest, this slob that threatened the senator from Washington, Senator Murray, Patty Murray. Remember when this guy had threatened her? Well, they arrested this swinehunt. They found this guy, and we'll tell you all about him. But first, here is a little bit of the audio. This isn't the first time that Senator Murray had been threatened over health care. In mid-February, an unidentified woman called for a hanging at a Tea Party event in Washington State. I'll bet you money that that's why this guy actually went out and threatened Senator Murray. Here is this comment from this woman.
How many of you watched the movie Lonesome Dove? What happened to Jake when he ran with the wrong crowd? What happened to Jake when he ran with the wrong crowd? He got hung.
All right, that's a very stupid woman, and it's shocking to me that nobody knows who she is. She's stupid because I can tell she's the kind of person, if she knew that what she was saying put her potentially in very serious trouble, as well as put the senator in a very uncomfortable place, because she doesn't sound like she's bright enough to know that what she is saying is a potentially very, very dangerous thing. I'm telling you right now. I may not know people all that well, but I know them well enough to know she doesn't sound bright enough to know what it was she was saying. Was pretty serious to the extent that maybe she could even get her own ass thrown in into a cage. Now, who is she? What's her name? We don't know. Here is Washington. Well, anyway, a Washington state man's been charged with threatening to kill Democratic Senator Patty Murray over her support for health care, leaving voicemail messages at her office saying she had a target on her back and it only takes one piece of lead. Federal agents arrested this dumbass named Charles Allen Wilson without incident in Yakima, Washington. Without incident? Well, why didn't you fight it out with him there, Charles? Murray's office in Seattle reported the threats amid a rash of ugliness aimed at lawmakers who supported the sweeping federal health care legislation. Some lawmakers have been spit on, and several have reported receiving threatening calls. FBI spokesman Bill Carter said Wilson is believed to be the first person in the country arrested for such threats. A real candy ass, it turns out. The messages to Murray were left on voicemail from a blocked telephone number. Well, no kidding. According to Special Agent Carolyn Woodbury, writing in a probable cause statement, agents said they traced the calls to Wilson's home near Yakima. Blocked telephone, that ain't going to stop the FBI. You know what Hannibal Lecter said, all the way to the FBI. It ain't going to stop them. So they got their man, and he's probably wetting himself, telling them everything they want him to know, that he wants them to know, or whatever it is that they don't know, he'll tell them. Whatever it is that they don't know, he'll tell them, and whatever it is that they want him to make up, he'll make it up. That's for sure. All right, time now for the stories that we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, starting out in Utah tonight. Smithfield, Utah, high school students in northern Utah have completed a 6,400-square-foot replica of Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night. And what did they make it out of? Breakfast cereal! Doyle Geddes, a humanities teacher at Skyview High School, led more than 150 students on the project, which used 2 tons of colorful malt oatmeal spread across the gymnasium floor. The project, which was finished on Saturday, took about a week. Crews spread a plastic sheet on the floor and then created a grid to outline the painting's famous design. Each space was assigned a color to correspond with the painting and filled with cereal. Getty says he conceived the ambitious project as a way to better connect students with art. The replica was taken apart later on Saturday. The cereal was given to a farmer to feed to his pigs. That's pretty cool, man. Just make it and take it apart and feed it to the pigs. In Framington, New York, an upstate New York man was accused of stealing a vacuum cleaner from a department store on Friday with his children there. State police said Richard Dekanip was charged with having a funky last name and also endangering the welfare of a child and robbery. After the 42-year-old man allegedly stole the vacuum cleaner, police said he struck a security guard with his car in the parking lot. The guard wrote down his license number, and Dekanip was later arrested at his home as the police laughed their ass off, booking him in and saying, "Is your name really Dekanip, really?" His car was later found abandoned at the Finger Lakes Gaming and Racetrack parking lot. It's not immediately known if he has a lawyer. Maybe he is a lawyer. And finally, an Ohio man says his 8-year-old son was just trying to do him a favor and get gasoline when the boy drove the family's minivan and crashed it. James Krause says he didn't even realize his son Jordan was out of the house. Jordan, it turns out, 8 years of age, driving the van to get gasoline. All right, guys, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Our website, philhenryshow.com, for all your streaming, video, and audio needs. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.